When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now everyone's mad. Sammy says, we can't lose, De'Aaron. We'll be finished. It's no other all-star level guard that can replace him. People need to relax. Y'all sound stupid. All right. Sakiran and... Yo, chill out, Marv.
That's his boy.
Oh, we love you, Sakiran the Bagley.
Oh, man. We love you, yeah, bro. I mean... So here's the other thing. Because I'm kind of in this camp, and I think about things this way. People, you have to make a move. I don't think a move is coming anytime soon. And here's the other thing about it. Say Monty and Wes are on the phone today. We got to make a move. What incentive does Brooklyn have to make a move right now? Without fielding other offers. Just because Monty called?
Well, they don't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Monty, hey, you saw what happened last night. We lost. Hey, we're ready to trade for Cam Johnson. They're like, all right, we'll talk to you later about it.
Okay, what are you proposing?
Well, it's the Trey Lyles and Herter that we talked about.
Bye.
At that point, you're just not getting Cam Johnson then. But are you talking about like, Finney Smith?
Send me those two guys for Finney Smith.
Well, no. In my mind, all right, you're offering Lyles and Herter?
I'm going to be honest with you.
All right, I'll call you back.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Because I think I might be able to get more than that. I'll call you back.
Let's see. Lyles is expiring. I like that. Why don't you send me Keon instead?
For DFS?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Think about it. I don't
send me Keon instead, and we'll call Dorian and have him pack his bags.
Okay, so Monty is so desperate. All right, fine. Yes. Is that a good trade for the Kings?
it's a trade. Yeah, I mean,
you didn't even negotiate.
Well, no, I'm saying because that's what everybody wants. Like, there is no negotiation.
No, because you traded the
everybody's
wrong.
Everybody's like,
yeah, you probably traded the wrong.
So then now we're
here's the problem.
There is no negotiation. Everybody says something has to be done now.
So do you mean, like, when you say, like, you don't see a move happening, do you mean at all or just till we get to the trade deadline? Because if a move doesn't happen, like, at all with this team, then I'm sorry, this is cooked.
I would say at least by the first of the year. At least. Because once again, what incentive?
First of the year, it's December 20th.
About a week and a half.
About 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
You want a deal to be done?
No, I'm saying I don't think anything happens.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Okay, got you.
At least until the first of the year.
Gotcha.
Because once again, what incentive does Brooklyn have to rush and make a trade right now?
Well,
I don't think that's the problem either. That's fine. I think that's fine. You don't have to do it like right now, but it's just a matter of you have to do something though at some point.
But
before the trade deadline,
and I understand that. But my point with the whole thing is, what are you going to do in that meantime, Sacramento Kings? Like, if you're sitting around waiting, oh, we just don't have enough. All right, well, you got like 10 games to play before anything real is. What are you going to do? Because if you are still crying about that and worrying about that 10 games later, and you've gone 2-8 in the 10 games, then, well, what are we making a move for at that point?
Someone's
you're finished.
Cry me a river. Tune into 102.5 today. It's 4 o'clock.
Flashback Friday. You know the vibes.
Justin Timberlake tickets.
But then at that point, what you trading probably looks completely different in your direction for trade. So my whole point is you can't just fall apart waiting for a different somebody to come walking through that door. Like, you're in the meantime, you're as a collective, the coaches, the players, you guys are gonna have to find a way to play better.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, but I mean, Monty also, like, he's on the clock at this point. Like, you gotta, like, I feel like the way we felt about, I'd be curious to know how they felt, but the way we felt after the game yesterday, I wonder if they see it the same way, Monty McNair. You have to know, like, this isn't working at all. My time is running out as far as this roster. Like, I get the whole, what leverage does Brooklyn have, but we've been playing the excuse game with Monty McNair for 5 years, whatever you want to call it. At some point, you gotta just do your job. You got to just make it happen. It's not fair the same way. It's not fair to De'Aaron Fox to lead this team from being 13 and 15. Like, Monty just has to do it.
Yeah, they feel that way.
So we have spent, about 3.5 hours on De'Aaron Fox. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, my guy.
Is there a chance Mike is the problem?
Yeah. There is a chance.
I don't think so. I think you could play Jay Crowder and all that. It's fine. You could try it. But, like, let's all be real here. It's probably not going to work out. There's no instance where this team mix and match whatever you want is going to be what we expected before the season.
Okay.
But
what problems? Sorry.
I'm sorry. But can you be better? That's where I always kind of bring it back to.
You can be a game better, maybe, but we're just, that's whatever at this point. You're not reaching the expectations. Like, I feel like that's what matters. You're not reaching the expectations you had before the season.
Those guys, but I don't think the roster is like great, and there's work that needs to be done. But you look at, we talk about talent and all this other stuff. You look at the Clippers roster, oh man, it's not heads and shoulders better. And and Ty Lue has them boys playing.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Lue has those guys locked in. They listen to him.
That's a championship head coach.
Come on, man. That's the other aspect.
That's not a shot at Mike. Mike is not a championship head coach. Mike is a championship coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a championship head coach.
If these guys aren't listening to Mike, then give me new guys.
You know, that's the part that I am stuck on is like, yeah, and I think we used to do this with Luke. You haven't earned the right to not listen to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Y'all stink. And if you're not listening, you're not getting anywhere. That's the other thing. If y'all have tuned out Mike, this is where it's gotten you.
If they've tuned out Mike, this is not a team full of winning basketball players, so we might as well just start over. They're not winning players.
It is worth repeating. This is a hypothetical. We do not know.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But if that's the case, then they're not winning players.
And that's like what both of you guys just said. That's my whole point. Like, what purpose, what does it serve you not to listen to the coach or not execute what he's saying? Because at the end of the day, you all look bad.
Right. Yeah.
You're not winning. You look like a losing basketball team. It serves no purpose to not go out there and execute.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you, like, maybe it's easy for me to say, even if you don't necessarily believe in the strategy or whatever, find a way to make something work, because if you're just tuning somebody out and not working hard or just not executing, you're losing, and it's not helping anybody. So try to find a way to work through it or do whatever you have to do to get wins. I guarantee you, if you said to hell with what you're talking about, Mike Brown, and freestyled and did what you're doing, and you won games, I'm not going to say Mike wouldn't care, but would he care?
Mm-hmm. You guys?
Like, if you weren't listening and you end up winning 7 straight, like, mm-hmm. would Mike bench DeRozan or somebody because he's not listening? No.
We're seeing it over and over at this point. Do you think they're tuning Mike out, or do you think they're not capable?
Capable of, like, being good?
Of being executing. What he's doing, what he's asking, of executing.
Like, doing literally what he's asking. We're press conference after press conference, post game.
Man, we
literally should. He's giving us basketball lessons.
I don't think either one is true, but if I had to pick one, it would be their tune and
Mike, forgive the
blank. Like, he's not asking for, like, these guys know what they're supposed to be doing.
Let's run Matt George back again. This is from last night. Matt George, ABC 10. Here's Mike Brown.
Mike, forgive the bluntness.
This week,
kind of a lot of talk, not a lot of action. We've heard what your challenges are to the guys. They're saying the right things, at least in front of the media, and then we're not seeing the results necessarily on the floor. I know there's the contract that you have all the guys sign up saying they're 100% engaged and bought into what we're doing. Are you seeing that with this team action-wise, other than just words?
No, right. I mean, it's evident we're not seeing it action-wise. You know, I mean, it is what it is. And that's why, I mean, I didn't yell at the guys because there's nothing to yell about. They know exactly what we have to do, whether or not we go do it. And tonight we didn't go do it. You know, and so somehow, some way, again, starts with me. Somehow, some way, I got to figure out how to get them to do it by continuing to drill it, by continuing to show them on film. And if need be, I got to try to find somebody else that can do it. You know?
Wanted to make sure we got Ashley. Yeah, I wanted to make sure we got Ashley up here to shout out Ashley. Shout out Matt George for the great question right there, and ABC 10 as well. He's basically, you know, I think Saturday's game will be kind of fascinating because it's it's not a back to back in the traditional sense. It's the back to back games against the same opponent in short order. That last line there at the end of that answer from Mike Brown is, if need be, I need to find guys who can do it. Well, bro, you couldn't find guys that could do it. Last night, you asked the question, what the hell happened to J-Mac? You going to turn to J-Mac? You going to turn to Jay Crowder instead of Alex Lynn? Just because Jay might be a little, not that, you know, Alex Lynn's a tough dude. Jay's going to bring a different level of, He's going to bring a different level of physicality. Yeah. How often do these guys talk about lacking physicality? How often have they credited physicality for victories? Mm-hmm. Jay got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's Mike going to do different? Now, and I'm talking specifically about Mike Brown because there's obviously a million questions to ask about the plays. What's Mike going to do different? What adjustment is he going to make in a series situation where you have a game, quick break, and you have a game against the same opponent right after that? Didn't have to travel, didn't have to do anything. You play the same opponent tomorrow night, and you just told your media, if these guys can't do it, I've got to find someone else who can. I point that out because he's not talking about Cam Johnson or Dorian Finney-Smith or someone on another team, because he's already made it clear that comes from Monty and Wes. I got to work with what I have. He's talking about Colby Jones and Doug McDermott and J-Mac, Jordan McLaughlin, that crew right there, Jay Crowder. That's who Mike's talking about.
Right.
Does he follow through with that tomorrow night? Does he try to find the guy who could do it for him? Guys?
He should. I think we should see Jay Crowder tomorrow and move forward.
I'm with you. I agree.
I wouldn't, you know, I know he's out of the league and, you know, borderline washed. I wouldn't mind seeing Doug McDermott. I definitely wouldn't mind seeing Jordan McLaughlin. I know he's you know, kind of short and creates, you know, there's matchup problems or something like that. But yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a hell. You know, he can match up with Gabe Vincent. Not everybody on the court is 6'9".
Yeah.
Like, there's guys that he can match up with out there, and he provides a level of leadership and basketball IQ and shooting ability. Like, why not? And when we talk about those guys, here's the thing. When we talk about those guys, those are fringe NBA guys right now at this point in their career.
One quick thing. I was thinking this. Happy birthday to Sean Cunningham.
Oh, happy
Sean
birthday.
Sean and De'Aaron have the same birthday. Yeah, happy birthday to our guy, Sean Cunningham.
Guy, Sean. You know, there's a lot of other teams that are out there playing fringe NBA guys off their bench, and they're contributing, and they're being successful. You know, like, because they're giving them an opportunity, or they're giving them a consistent opportunity, or a way to find their groove.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe it's time to try that, Mike. You know, maybe it's time to try that. And if you're that, you know, desperate for defense, you know, put those guys out there. I know we get our jokes off or whatever about the – well, you get your jokes off. But put Kobe Jones back out there. I thought Kobe Jones on Monday worked hard and played hard.
Yeah.
Like, that should have earned him another opportunity to play.
Yeah, so did Jordan McLaughlin when he played. And that's the – and here's what I was just looking at. And we have clips. You know, Mike Brown talked – I do want to hear this. I don't know what's on here, but I do want to hear the. I guess everybody got birthday wishes. I want to hear that as well. But I was looking at. I saw someone in the chat. Forgive me for not starring it, but someone asked if there is a starting lineup change coming tomorrow, and it's like, all right, let's look at this real quick. Ba-da-da-da, scanning the lineup. Sure, the guy who should be pulled out of the starting lineup based on play is Keegan Murray. Who are you replacing him with? You're not. Mm-hmm. And the idea that you're just going to keep flip-flopping the two position, thinking that's going to make some sort of difference, is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I love Keon Ellis. Don't put him in the starting lineup. It's not going to make a difference. This thing's got to run a little bit. Like, they... But if they start out bad again on Saturday, yeah, I'll have some more questions. This is a very lengthy press conference, so we'll just kind of check in here.
Of course, I've given Mike Brown just
today.
How important is that positivity and perhaps any optimism that you, and belief that you have in the guys to turn things around?
I don't know. I'm not gonna walk around here gloomy, but I'm gonna try to tell the truth. I can be wrong sometimes. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm going to tell my staff the truth. I'm going to own up when I'm out of pocket too or wrong, because we're all accountable. But just because we're not playing well or we're going through a tough stretch, I'm not going to walk around here drooping. No. It's our job to go win. And we need to try to correct the things we can do to go win. And while we're not in it, I'm going to treat you and him and her just like they're human beings, because that's what everybody is. So it's just me right now. But again, I told him the truth. We watch film. I told him the truth, and I'm going to keep telling him the truth, but I'm not going to be mopey about it.
What was your reaction to watching the film?
It was tough, you know, because, you know, we talked about the things that we wanted to game plan for or take away, and we didn't do a great job with it. And, you know, even, you know, I said this, I thought it was probably our worst passing game, you know, of the year. And statistically, even watching the film, statistically, it was backed up. We averaged 231 passes a game this year, which isn't bad. It's down by about, I don't know, 15 or so passes from last year. Mm. Which isn't bad. We had 197 last night. We had 197 passes last night, and we averaged 231. That's huge. You know, when you're passing the ball 40 less times than what you average, and it was a telltale sign. We also, in the second quarter, we had 25 possessions, I think Jay said. And of those 25 possessions, 12 of them, we had nobody touch the ball except for the guy bringing up on half of the possessions. And, you know, you do stuff like that. And we told our guys it's a delicate thing, because we have guys that can go get a bucket. We have guys that can go make plays like that. We don't want to stop them from doing that. So what we told them is, you got to feel the game. You know, and also you got to know the team. If you move the ball versus most teams, sooner or later they're going to stop rotating or their rotations are going to get later and later and later as the ball gets reversed and as you touch the paint. And so you have to have a feel for the game. If you got it going, yeah, come up, take a quick three. Come up, take a good midi. We were three for 15, I think, during the game when it came to middies. So you got to feel whether or not that thing is working right now to be able to bring it up, not let anybody else touch it, shoot the ball. And so that, for me, was just as disappointing as some of the game plan things we didn't do a good job of. We did as bad as we played defensively, we did enough to win. We didn't box out, and we sent them to the free throw line. We turned the ball over. And now you add all that with 197 passes when we averaged 230-something, and it's a tough night for you.
That was about I just hit, but that was one answer.
That was not a 10-second. That was,
he is. I feel like, I really feel like you can gauge the level of Mike, because Mike Brown is pretty even keel. We've gotten a few behind the scenes looks of videos at practices where he's barking a little bit, but in front of the media, he's very even. And I think one way that you can tell Mike is frustrated is how long his answers are. Again, that was a 3-something minute answer. I think back to the, is it Denver? The press conference after the Denver game. He talked like 3 straight minutes. His opening monologue, if you will, was 3 minutes. And I know Kings fans were frustrated last night. I got a text before it happened from Jill. She was like, I swear to God, I don't want to hear
congrats to them or tip your hat to the Nuggets.
And that's how it started. Congrats to the Lakers. They did what they were supposed to do. We know, Mike. That's why they won. I want Mike to turn the table over. Turn it over.
Do a Brian Kelly. Remember Brian Kelly's, we just can't figure it out.
I don't think Brian Kelly has an accent. He has a fake accent.
That's what I did.
That's sorry. He's got the fake accent. Good call. Yes. And stormed off.
I do think
that's Mike, what Mike needs to do.
How do you think Mike, like,
storm off,
feels about this group? Because I feel like yesterday postgame was like, yeah, it starts with me and I got to get them to listen and all that. I feel like that's just coach speak for, like, I don't know what the hell to do at this point, bro.
Mike just needs to be like, these guys suck. Walk away. And it's just yell. Yes, he's walking out the door.
And there goes Damian. He's really leaving.
It's brown truck.
Brown truck for real.
That's how he needs to do these press conferences. We can't get to the free throw line. What do you want?
I'm waiting on Monty. What more do you guys want from me?
Well, do you also, at the same time, you get paid a lot of money to figure this out. If it was just waiting for the general manager to get players, then anybody could coach. And I don't think that's the case. I think there is a, you know, level of pivoting that you got to do as a coach and understanding your players and understanding your message and, you know, and how to get your message to, like, I'm sure they communicate or whatever. Maybe there needs to be another type of talk. Maybe there needs to be a talk with your captains together. Maybe the whole team. And say, hey, this is what's going on. And maybe this could have already happened. But man, forget the X's and O's for a second. What's going on? Let's have real talk. Talk to me.
How do you guys feel?
Look, talk to me. I'll talk to you. You know, and it could, we'll keep it within the lines of respect, but let's talk.
How long can you talk, though? How many times can you talk? Like, because this isn't, like, last year they didn't make the playoffs, last year they didn't play well and all that. Like, how long can it be to where it's like, you know what, maybe you should move to Brooklyn and I'll go my separate ways here. Where it's just time where, like, you know what, this just isn't working at this point. We could talk. It's not happening.
Wait, who's moving to Brooklyn in this scenario?
Whoever. All I know is Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith are coming here.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I mean,
because we're not talking about new problems, by the way. Like, these aren't new. No, these are problems from last year, year before. Yep. Like, right. Nothing is new here.
No, I mean, but
Drew Downs just says, just keep talking until it works.
Sometimes. Sometimes, or, you know, people are going to be gone, but...
Didn't we have the players only meeting too early or whatever? Or they did, like, the meeting where they... It was uncomfortable or something like
that? Was that the Trey Lyles one? Or was that last year?
Did there was something. There was something this year where I think they were talking about, oh, yeah, it was uncomfortable
Malik
for some.
Well, Malik said he was going to talk when they got to Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right.
More about that.
You're right.
But...
Well, Jake Gaden has taught everyone, don't ask. They ain't going to tell you.
But, and once again, what... Jesse has said and others have said about Monty needs to do something or you need a roster. I'm not here to even tell you that you're wrong at all. I'm just saying you got games before that happens. What are you going to do? Like I said, I'll just throw out a number, 10 games. You got 10 more games before something might happen. What are you going to do in 10 games? Your season can be over in 10 games. And then what are we trading a first-round pick for Cam Johnson for? Our season is over now. What are you going to do in 10 games? 10, 12 games? You got to figure it out.
See, that's tough. Because honestly, like this five-game stretch, the way they've started the first two games, I have to see them probably going 1-4 or something.
I could see that, too. This
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
First two games, it's...
I don't think...
That told me what I need to know about this game. It has soured me on this team. I have no confidence in them.
I just don't think that... I've given up on this team. I don't think there's an improvement or there's no games to win. There's no 3 out of 2 in your next 5. It's I'm done with this team.
If that's the case, then what are we even thinking about trading a first round pick or anybody for Cam Johnson?
Well, I don't mean blow it up. I just mean as far as whoever's on the bench, this iteration of the bench, this iteration of starters. It's just this team is not working. It's just not. I don't think they're gonna figure it out. It's just not gonna work. It's a matter of, all right, Monty, you're the next move. There's no talks. There's no whatever. We're past that at this point. We're all past all of that. Mm. Which is kind of bad because, like I said, like you, the point you brought up earlier is like the Knights don't have to make up a move. Like the Kings might just have to deal with this for the time being till something happens.
The Nets can shop. They'll have to take Monty's. They're like, oh,
here's the thing
well,
about
we
Brooklyn.
We know we have that in our back pocket. Let's go see.
Well,
what
here's
else
the
we
thing
can
about
do.
Brooklyn. They don't have to do anything.
That too. They're starting to lose games too.
Well,
because that's what they really.
Yeah, they don't have to do a single thing.
So that Monty can come and say what he says. And I'm like, Monty, this is nice talking to you. I appreciate you. We'll keep that in consideration. And ain't no, that's not going nowhere. We got that in our back pocket. Let's see if we can get more for Finney Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case scenario, until Monty does what he allegedly did with Utah and said, look, deal's off. Like, we're not just holding this up anymore. Until he does that, they can just, all right, cool. Thanks for the information. We'll keep that in mind. We'll get back to you. And in the meantime, the Kings got a back-to-back on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. So fix it quick. We'll come back. We'll hear a little bit more of what Mike Brown said. We'll hear from DeMar DeRozan as our fourth hour of the Sacramento Kings loss last night rolls along here. Also, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line open for you. It's the 1 KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, let's hear a little bit more from Mike Brown today following practice as the Kings get ready to take on the Los Angeles Lakers for a second time tomorrow night at the Golden 1 Center.
You mentioned how like the slow starts can give a team confidence the last round of the game. How much did you feel like that was the case yesterday?
It's always the case, whether it happened yesterday against Denver, if it happens tomorrow, if it happens 10 games from now, any two. Allow, and sometimes you're just going to go miss, you know. But the way we allowed them to score helped boost their confidence. Like, we'd reach. We don't need, they're about to take a tough shot. Just wall up and have them shoot over you. And if they make it, they make it. Don't reach, especially on guys that aren't necessarily scorers, and send them to the free throw line. You know, the kid, Matt Christie, is going to be a great player. You can see his length and his athleticism, but I wonder how many free throw attempts he averages a game. I think he had 8 last night. That's like LeBron averages 6 or 7 a game, and Max Christie gets 8. So, you know, knowing when to send those guys to the free throw line and when not to is huge. We can't reach when he's going to take a tough shot early in the game. It gives him confidence. Can't leave a guy like Gabe Benson, who's shooting, that the great shooter, but he's struggling a little bit, shooting 26% from the floor, from the three, prior to last night's game. You can't leave him open on his first shot and let that go in. I mean, these guys are pros. Now they gain the confidence that they need to gain, and it's hard to shut that water off as the game goes along.
Can you go on runs, obviously? I'm glad you brought that up about Gabe.
Yeah.
No. Four, five, three. And of course, you might hit one. How do you get to the point where you can stop those the next 20?
By the way, that was a two and a half minute answer from Mike.
Again, he's a great shooter. That's how he made his money. You know, that's why Miami took a chance on him. He could shoot the ball. But there are guys that are struggling from time to time in their career, and right now he's shooting 26% from the three. And if you allow his first shot to be wide, like we didn't even get a hand up. And you know the backup center from Boston, I don't even know if he's still there. Remember how he had no chance to block him, but he just jumped in the air.
Cornette.
Like 20 feet from the guy, he just jumped in the air. Like, forget the jump, we didn't even do this to him. He was literally wide open, set his feet, shot it, and just caught bottom net. So his next two, Tony, if you have a chance to watch him, we go back. First of all, one of them was off an offensive rebound that if we boxed out, he didn't get the dagger three. Okay. But his next couple were highly contested. He had one in front of our bench that Keon deflected the pass, so Gabe had to reach for it. Keon closes. Keon's pretty long, too. He closes. He contests. Gabe's falling. Boom. But this is just my opinion. Again, I don't have all the answers. That first one goes in, he gets that first one as comfortable and wide open as he is, it's just it adds a confidence level that he has throughout the course of the game, you know, the belief. And so trying to make them feel us without sending them to the free throw line unnecessarily to start the game is huge. And, you know, sometimes you're going to make shots, sometimes you're going to miss shots. but don't let the game be easy for them to where their confidence increases.
How about you?
Ooh. That's why Mike's media scrum today was 15 minutes. He answered three questions in 7 minutes and 17 seconds. Mm. And for those that are watching, that's that look right there is how he feels about this basketball team.
I need
right
that
now.
Screenshot, Dr. David. Somebody,
man, he's
need
about
that one
it.
Right there.
Goodness,
but I'm
gracious.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't even realize this, and it just threw me for a loop when I saw this. You mean to tell me I lost on my Max Christie lineup because they sent him to the line six times last night?
Mm.
Why are we ever fouling Max Christie?
5 of 6 from the foul line, too.
1 of 3 from the field. He made one field goal.
5 free throws. 3 offensive rebounds.
Damn.
3.
It's tough.
The man had 1 defensive rebound. But 3 offensive rebounds.
Mm. Lack of intensity from the Kings too often last night. Lack of physicality.
But, man, say that second part again.
Lack of physicality.
Man, how many times, dog?
Too many times. Enough times that you're 13 and 15.
Can this switch flip? Like, they just credited, what game was it? Like, De'Aaron was talking about physicality after the game. Maybe it was the Pelicans. That was the last win they got. Maybe it was the Pelicans. Maybe it was. I can't imagine it was one of the blowouts, but maybe it was. They were talking about being more physical. They were talking about that with a little bit of pride. Maybe they were talking about that with the San Antonio one, given that they had already lost to San Antonio this year.
Yeah.
Maybe it was that one. But they were talking about physicality. Like, that's hey, man, it seems like our show does really well when we talk about the Kings for an extended period of time. But tomorrow we open up with the stadium in Las Vegas or this stupid ESPN article I read about the worst football deals in the last 4 years.
That was interesting, too.
It was interesting. That's why it was in the notes. But it's like, hey, we acknowledge something works. When we do this, it works. But the next day, oh, man, we're the only show in this country, I'm certain, that has not at some point brought up the Chargers versus the Broncos. By all accounts, a fantastic football game. Yeah. I wouldn't know because I was watching that nonsense. They seem to know what works. They acknowledge what works in real time. Oh, we got to do more of this. This is what we talk about. This is what we work on. And then it comes back around and you don't do it. And I don't know. And that's been the focal point of the last 4 hours. Is that Mike? Is that De'Aaron? Is that Domas? Is that the Kings? Is that Monty? Is it Wes? Is it Vivek? Is it Anjali? I don't know whose fault this is. They seem to have a very clear understanding of what's failing them. They seem to be able to address it at certain points. Sometimes the team looks legit sleepy, and I don't know how to, I don't know what you do for that. These guys need more naps. I don't know, man.
I don't know what they can do about that.
Well,
I don't feel like they can change it. I don't think this group can. I got to stay consistent with how I feel, and I know the 5 games aren't over, but I said this 5-game stretch was going to tell me a lot about who this team was.
Yeah.
And it's not just the losses. It has a lot to do with it, but the way they've lost these games, these 2 games, they look lifeless for a better part of the first quarter. You know, and then they battle back, but they can't close things out. And I don't have the confidence that they can fix what they need to fix to turn this thing around.
I wasn't happy, especially because they were in position to win the game, but I didn't feel terrible after the Denver game. Like, it hurt. Like, you had a chance to win that. You probably should have won it.
Mm-hmm.
man, this was gutting. This was a different type of loss, a completely different type of loss, but this is where you look at the team different.
Well, check this out. We talked after the Denver loss about DeMar DeRozan's reaction on the court, mm-hmm. about Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox on the podium, and mm-hmm. Sabonis and Jay Triano and all this other stuff.
Yep.
You got to ask the question now, did that game break them? We saw a level of...
Kevin O'Connell's writing the article right now.
We saw a level of frustration from them that we hadn't seen so far this year. And, you know, I didn't see this live. Just was rewatching the broadcast. And, you know, after this game, they panned to De'Aaron Fox sitting on the bench and just takes this 7 to 10 seconds and has his face in a towel, just sitting there. I don't think he said, like, what's
thinking about living in L.A.
I don't think he said what's up to anybody and just kind of walked off. Mm. You know, is this team, goes back to what we talked about earlier, is this team tough enough to fight through what they're going through? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
I'm not sure they're mentally, emotionally, you know, tough enough to fight through this type of adversity. Do they even want to? Some of it is like when you play on some of these teams and we talk about like how much they seem to care about each other. They seem to like each other. You know, sometimes that's enough for you guys to buckle down and try to turn things around. You sit up there at some point and you say, you know, man, I love these guys. I love playing with you guys. I don't want our season to fall apart. I don't want our season to end. You know, and they galvanize because of that type of stuff. Does this team even want their season to turn around? Are they so frustrated with, you know, whoever, you know, front office, coach, players, whatever, that they don't even have the motivation to try and turn this around as a collective, as a group? Yeah, yeah. Individuals may want to, for sure. I'm not questioning that. But, like, coming together as a group, are you willing to do the difficult work, the hard work, to come back together as a group and try and turn this season around? I don't know.
Let's hear what DeMar had to say following practice. Debo.
Was last night kind of, well, I mean, what is the level of disappointment after last night for you guys?
I mean, after every loss, it's a level of disappointment. But, I don't know. Yeah, it sucks. It's frustrating. Feel like, you know, when we lose, we kind of had the same, you know, dialogue about being disappointed. Should have did this. This should have happened. Blah blah blah. I think you just got to get to a point now. We just gotta do it and let us doing what we need to do be the result of the topic of the conversations. You know. Going forward, because you know it's more so even disappointing to continue to have the same conversations over and over.
You guys had such high expectations, and I know it's still an early start to the season, not Christmas yet, but from that standpoint, just how shocking this is.
I mean, it happens. I mean, it is what it is. You know, sometimes your true character is shown when you're going through something, and how you get out of that is yet to be seen. You know, and that's what we got to focus on. You know, it's easy to dwell in some. That she didn't expect in a moment, but we just got to take it one day at a time. You know, have this conversation again late January. Make sure it's not the same type of sentiment that we have now.
Mike Brown has preached a lot about you guys coming out and setting the tone on, so you're not playing catch-up late in the game. We saw it with the Denver game. We saw it last night. What do you think you guys have to do to play with that sense of urgency right off the top to get going?
I mean, either we just got to have the right mental approach or... You know, we line up, you know, 15 cans of Red Bull before the game. One of the two, you know, but, you know, it got to happen so we don't put ourselves in those situations early on.
That's interesting.
Real quick, I want to address Peyton in the chat referring to me talking about De'Aaron, you know, being on the bench with the top. I'm not saying anything about if he quit or pouted off or nothing like that. I'm just telling you, I was watching it, mm-hmm. and he's sitting there on the bench. Afterwards, really the whole thing was saying looking frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just frustrated with this has happened again.
Mm-hmm.
And Peyton says that's not fair. Fox was the last guy on the court last night. I watched him wait and high five all the guys playing in garbage time. That's fine. I'm not, I didn't say he stormed off. Mm-hmm. I'm saying he looked, and rightfully so, looked affected by what had transpired again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You want that, by the way.
Yeah.
You want that. That was an interesting line from DeMar DeRozan. Come out more focused or line up 15 cans of Red Bull, one or the other. Don't advise lining up 15 cans of Red Bull for anybody.
Sacramento Kings brought to you by 5-Hour Energy.
My goodness. But, man, it's a strong inclination that they're not going out there and starting the game with energy.
Yeah. Where okay, let me ask you guys this.
Implication.
If you guys are in that locker room and you were part of the team, and we already talked about it, yeah, you need a roster upgrade or whatever, but that ain't coming anytime soon. Where do we start?
By the first possession, like literally, like Mike Brown did it with his possession by possession answer. Like you literally have to play every possession, whether it be offensively or defensively, with purpose. Mm-hmm. Like just focus on that one. I think they got to literally take it one by one by one, because they clearly have a focus problem, I guess. From what Mike Brown has talked about, energy, whatever you want to call it. You literally have to start, all right, first possession, let's lock in. Locked in, whatever. Now we're coming back down the court playing defense or offense. Lock in again. Like, you literally have to, like, kind of tell yourself at this point. Like, we got to tell ourselves. Just take it one by one now.
I can absolutely understand losing your focus through the course of a game. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult for me to understand regularly starting a game without focus. Mm-hmm. Because that happened before the 15, but you know, before the deficits of the last two games. Mm-hmm. Like we would see deficits of 7 or 8. And, you know, that's where Mike would talk about detail. It's where the first play of the game not being executed properly came up. And that's a little tougher for me. Mm-hmm. We may lose our way in the 3 o'clock hour, but goddammit, at 12, we got a plan. Like, you gotta, if there's one spot you execute, it's gotta be coming out of the locker room.
I don't have a stat for this, but how often do you think when they start off slow, do they eventually get back into the game when this happens?
I mean,
more often than not.
I mean, I would think so.
So then how much of it do you think is them kind of, I don't want to say they're lazy, but more so like, we'll get back into it.
Yeah, that is not a way to live.
No. That
is not a way to live.
Because I don't get, like, not starting off strong every game or with effort. Like, I can only imagine, like, they just are complacent or something at this point.
The crazy thing about that is if you're, like, doing that and you lose a lot, 15 times, like, you should be evaluating, like, all right, well, what do we have to do to not lose? Maybe if we didn't start off a certain way, you know, and we use the energy that we use to get back into the game.
Yeah.
We use that at the start. Maybe that'll set us up. I mean, these guys are thinking about that. I'm not, we're not, you know, breaking down anything that I'm sure they're not thinking. But
well, we might be.
How do you get to that point? Like, how do you get where as a collective, you know, everybody's ready to go and ready to play?
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago, you know, where they made the change for Malik Monk into the starting lineup and he, you know, they scored 42 points. In the first quarter against San Antonio.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, that's where I would start. So let's win the first quarter. Let's win the first quarter. Let's do that. And then you reset the focus again, you know, going into the second quarter and all that other stuff.
I'm sure there's a stat somewhere where it's how many first quarters have the Kings won? How many second quarters have they won? How many third quarters have they won? Speaking of stats, like, I'm so curious. Like, there has to be, like, some program that counts passes, right? Because I'm just picturing, like, Jay Triano, like, all right, 1, 2,
you ever,
3, 4.
You ever seen, I know you have, the boxing, like, when you're training for a match or something like that. And you got to get 500 punches on the heavy bag, and he's got the clicker. That's what Jay Triano's doing watching. He's got that little
Mike. You're not going to believe this. Shows him the clicker. 190. Jay, is that right? poor Jay. I did it twice, Coach. And it definitely wouldn't be Jay. It'd be someone.
Yeah, it'd be like me as the video.
Yeah,
assistant.
It'd be that guy. Hey, don't bother me. I'm counting passes. Stop.
Oh, no, I lost count.
Oh, I was in the third quarter. Oh, got to start all over again.
See, in that case, though, you would write down at the end of every quarter.
That's good thinking.
You know, so man, I messed up. Let me just go back to the start of the third quarter. But then I don't think you could reset the clicker manually. You'd have to go back.
Well, you couldn't. Maybe it's a new fancy digital clicker.
Yeah, them boxing coaches still use the old mechanical joint.
There's probably a bag where you punch it and it tells you how many times you hit it.
Absolutely.
Man, the fight camp thing has Bluetooth, little Bluetooth clips that you put in your boxing gloves, and it counts how many times you hit the bag.
That's not going to make you tougher, though. It
tells you how hard you hit the bag.
That's not going to make you tougher.
Your clicker is going to make me tougher.
Yes.
Okay, that's why boxing's in the state that it's in, your stupid clicker.
It's going to be tougher. Eat red meat.
What was the guy's name? Mick? What was Rocky's trainer name? You gotta want it. This sounds strangely like Vince McMahon. I'm not sure why.
Well, shout out Will Z.
You got it?
He's got it. Kings have outscored opponents 12 times in the first quarter. They've been outscored 15 times. Kind of sounds like their record.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if they've won or, you know.
Are we missing a game?
They tied once.
Oh, okay. Oh, tied once. So there it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't have time, I think, to get all the quarters. Wilsley's like, yeah, I have a wife and kids. Will you idiots leave me alone?
Wouldn't that be something if the
every ones... time they lose the first quarter, they lose the game. That is incredible.
That'd be crazy.
Somebody tweet that. Matt, if you're still listening, tweet that. They don't pay attention to us. They'll pay attention to you. Will, tweet that. Will Z damn near works for the Kings at this point. Every time the Kings lose the first quarter, they lose the game. Goodness gracious.
Well.
They got a chance to make up for it. They got a chance to. I mean, you can shoot. You can correct it with a weekend.
You win two games and... At least we're coming here in better spirits on Monday. Not everything is fixed. Not everything is solved. Could be a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. But
bro, win two games for the sake of the parents who bought their kids a De'Aaron Fox Kings jersey on Christmas, just so they could be happy for that one day. After that, do what you want. Don't ruin Christmas for these kids.
Well, no. This is the D'Lo rule in full effect. We're too close to Christmas. Someone's out of town's family is showing up. And you don't want them.
Yeah, we're playing the Washington Wizards on December 23rd. Make sure you show up that day to win.
Also, our guy Ken Anthony next door on the Eagle, he's an L.A. guy. Mm-hmm. We love him. He walked by with his, oh, that was a hell of a game last night. No,
yeah,
F you, Ken. Ken's got the company seats tomorrow. Mm. He's bringing his daughter from Los Angeles. Make sure their asses leave unhappy.
Don't have that daughter crying like the little girl in the COVID game.
Yes, that's what we want. Well, I don't think she's a little girl. I think she's a grown woman. I don't think Ken has a toddler at home. Like, he's got a grown-ass daughter.
Well, don't have her crying like a girl who plays the flute and cried after they lost.
Well, yeah,
Villanova, or what team was that?
Was that Villanova?
I think so.
It was.
That's so good. Just tear. I want Ken Anthony to leave Saturday miserable, and I want Mr. Halliburton to leave upset.
Please.
On Sunday after. I'm going to be happy to see Mr. Halliburton, but I want him to leave upset on Sunday.
That's right.
And we want you to have a great weekend. We appreciate y'all so much for being with us, man.
Happy birthday, De'Aaron.
We'll be
in Georgia Day.
Sorry, De'Aaron. I hope the properties in Los Angeles are really good to you. We'll be back on Monday to cover everything that happens over the weekend. So make sure that you're here with us for our Christmas Eve spectacular, because I've got a feeling it's probably going to get a little silly.
Mm.
See them with KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings, light the beam.